Good evening and welcome to Italian Impact Weekly. I'm your co-host Steve Stefano Mancini.
And my name is Claudio Relsano, and as always, we appreciate all of you tuning in.
All right, Claudio. So this is
There's
one of
always
our...
a little pause there.
I know,
because you expect me to say more.
Your turn, my turn. I don't know. But you know what? Again, we're first show off the radio, but streaming. And again, the nice thing about that is all of our listeners can still continue to hear us. So that's wonderful news, and we're going to keep doing the show. We're going to be out here hopefully every week doing the show. And obviously, we've got some great guests. And Claudio, I know you've got a couple that we ended up getting two guests for the price of one
this
week.
Yes.
So, yeah, so fantastic. So, all yours. Tell me who they are.
All right. Well, we have Kevin McGuire, who's in the studio. Kevin is with Square Advisories Consultant. That's how we met, through Bill Kai, who was a guest on our show. Looking to do some things with that. Kevin's a great guy, very passionate guy. And he suggested, we had a meeting, and he said, you got to get this guy on the show. He's very inspirational. Great story, good guy. And I said, are you talking about me, Kevin?
I'm
already on the show. But he meant the football coach at Grove City, and that's Andrew DiDonato. Andrew graduated from Grove City. He was the all-time leader in passing yards, completions, and touchdowns. And he was named head coach in 2016. In 2018, he was the President's Conference Coach of the Year, and his teams have won four straight Eastern Athletic Conference bowl games. And again, I was very excited to get him on the show. And Andrew, thank you so much for taking time to be on our show.
Oh, thank you for having me on. It's definitely a blessing to be on with you this afternoon.
All right. You know, the first thing we always open up with is, where is your family from in Italy? And did you grow up with, the Italian traditions and the background and all that?
Absolutely. So my dad's side, his parents were born here in America in the Pittsburgh area. They're originally from his family was from Bruxelles, and then my grandmother on that side, Calabria.
There you go. What part of Calabria?
Their family. Not exactly sure. Just know, my grandma Blanche would talk about Calabria, had a lot of passion for it, knowing her family originally came from there. So that was my dad's side. Now, my mom's side, her parents came over here in 1951. They are from Trieste. My grandmother on that side was born in Naples. As a young girl, moved to Trieste, and her and my grandfather. My grandfather was born in 1928, so he was about 22, 23 when they came over. Oh, so many traditions. I mean, my grandfather, so that's the one from Trieste, Marcello, had a wine cellar in his basement, made his own wine.
Sure.
Her gnocchi, my grandmother on my mom's side, to die for. Oh, my goodness. I just remember that growing up. And so that's my mom's parents. Now, my father's parents, my grandma Blanche on that side was known for her cookie trays. I think at our wedding, my wife still says, I think they talked about her Italian cookies more than anything
else.
There
you go. That's
so
nice.
The pit sales were her specialty, her wedding soup, amazing. So that's where my grandparents and my family's from, and then just some of the traditions and specifically the food, certainly loved growing up from each side.
You know, I think 99% of the guests we've had have either been from Abruzzi or Calabria. My family's from Calabria. Steve, yours?
Both. Calabria and Abruzzo.
And I think you say Trieste, I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, Mario Andretti, who's been a guest on our show, his family was from there. Almost positive. I know they had to leave and all that kind of stuff, but yeah. So, Steve?
No, it was a nice introduction. I love the fact you're from the same two regions. Again, most people seem to have immigrated from those two regions. And a fun fact, I've been doing a lot of homework. I'm filming a documentary on Italian prisoners. And one of the things I learned was after World War II, the Italians weren't allowed to immigrate here for a few years. That's why when you said 1951, that's not too long after they finally said, yes, we'll let Italians come to America, even though in some cases they already had family here. But Andrew, we want to talk about a lot of things with you. We're going to talk a little bit of sports because we can't help it, because apparently there is some, I don't want to say buffoonery in the news regarding what I'll call the local professional team. But, the theme of the show, we've been talking Italian Impact Weekly, and we talk about the different impacts that Italian Americans have made. Let's kind of talk about you obviously were playing football. Football was a passion for you. From football, though, when did the coaching piece come into play? Like, is this something you kind of envisioned yourself when you were a young kid? Or did you think, nope, I'm going to be in the pros, make $1 million, and retire by 35?
Well, no, great question. So my father's a minister. He's a chaplain at a horse racetrack. So interesting there. And so my older brother actually went to Grove City. He's 5 years older than me, played receiver there. He ended up going into the ministry as well. I felt a similar passion. And, you know, I was a freshman in college, and I heard Bobby Bowden, legendary head coach at Florida State University, just mention how coaching is ministry, that you coach to serve. And then the famous evangelist Billy Graham, I heard him say, you know, if he wasn't an evangelist traveling the world, that he'd be a coach. And he made this famous statement. He said, a coach will impact more young people in a season than most people will in a lifetime. And that's a Billy Graham quote. And I heard both of those things my freshman year of college. And when I heard Bobby Bowden talk about the impact of a coach and Billy Graham say this, pretty much the same thing, that's when I called my dad and said, hey, Dad, I'm going to ministry too. Just call me coach, not pastor. That's going to be the only difference. So it was there when I was in college at Grove City, hearing those men, where I started to feel the calling to go into coaching. And that's really from there been my mindset.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I actually almost went to Grove City. It was either Grove City or the Navy. I ended up picking the Navy. Wow. But that is a beautiful campus up there. I think it's one of those diamonds in the rough, and it obviously has a very good reputation. It's a very nice school.
Now, you mentioned Bobby Bowden. Something that has been very important to me in my life and my coaching career have been role models. Besides my parents, I had so many coaches that were role models, not just because they were great coaches, but great people. Who were some of the ones that had impact in your life?
Yeah, so you know, it would start with my dad. I know you mentioned parents too, and he coached me growing up, coached me in baseball and basketball, and just the passion. He always got the most out of our teams, and really my dad would be first and foremost there. And then all the way through, I had great coaches in high school. Rich Benor at South Fayette High School, TJ Plack, who's now the head coach at Peters Township football, doing a great job. But then really at Grove City, so I played football in my 4 years here. Chris Smith, head coach 32 years. You know, you think about the role of a coach, the little things that he would teach us, things like early is on time. You know, I mean, just little details like that that has always stuck with me. You know, anytime I'm supposed to be somewhere, I'm ready 5 minutes early from, you know, Coach Smith. And then my senior year at Grove City, I played basketball, Coach Lammy. And again, just the idea that discipline equals freedom, you know, that if you're disciplined to always check out with the right hand, or you're disciplined to always box out, you'll be free to be your best each and every night. So, my dad first and foremost, my coaches at South Fayette, but then Grove City, both Chris Smith, Steve Lammy, and then also say another Italian, Joe Rossi at South Fayette, got the coach underneath him on two state title teams there, and just getting the most out of your players, putting them in the best position to succeed, coaching underneath him. Certainly would have never gotten the opportunities I did at Grove City if we didn't have all the success under his leadership at South Fayette. So there's a few, many, but just a few to name there that certainly have put me in a position to be able to be at Grove City and be the head coach here now.
For those fans out there, if you were to paint a picture of yourself as a coach, who could they look at on TV either now or the past, say that's who I kind of am. That was kind of my style.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I mentioned Bobby Bowden earlier. I mean, obviously mentioning him, the reason I mentioned him, you know, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, you know, just always wanting to, his big thing, talking a lot just about character, let faith drive, be what you do. So I mentioned him. You know, John Wooden, certainly can't compare myself to the winningest coach in college basketball history, but two things that stuck out with me studying the life of John Wooden, the legendary coach at UCLA. Number one was integrity. They would say about him that he was the same man on the court that you would talk to, at lunch, or if you saw him out in public. And the second thing with John Wooden was he always spoke in 4-second phrases, when his timeouts, quick, catchy phrases. And then he's known for his pyramid of success.
Right.
So at Grove City, when we got here, we were 0-10 at the time. We hadn't won a game in 3 years. You know, I instilled a brick-by-brick model, taking that from John Wooden. And then we have 24-second phrases we live by, you know, when we talk to our guys about, hey, focus on your vision, not your circumstance. or maybe we need to tell a guy, hey, be where your feet are right now. You know, those are all principles that I took from John Wood. And so just from the standpoint of Bobby Bowden, you know, faith being brought into what you do, and then John Wood and Pyramid of Success, 4 second phrases, those are two men that I've stolen so many things from that we try to apply to what we do at Grove City College.
You know, one thing, though, I've studied coaches really since I was a little kid. And one of them was like an uncle to me, Chuck Knox, who's from Swickley, Pennsylvania. I'm sure
yeah.
you remember Chuck.
Yeah.
But the one thing I noticed even in my career, coaching career, do you know when I had the best seasons, the championship seasons, when I had not just good players, but the right people, the right players? So, you know, Wooden was great. Lombardi, everybody talked about Lombardi, how tough he was and how gruff he was. He loved those players and those players loved him. But if the players weren't receptive to what he had to say, like being, you talk about being on time, Lombardi time, which was 15 minutes early. Wooden, obviously, with the Jabbars and the Wilkes and the Waltons and Goodrich and those guys were all dynasties, all championship teams had special players that were special people. Do you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. When you were mentioning just the right people, it brought to me a story that fortunately our college grabbed a video of this when I shared it with the team. Just to give you an example of the type of young men we have here at Grove City. So in 2016, that was my first year of head coach, and we hadn't won a game in 3 years. You know, we were just at that point and, you know, trying to rebuild, get things going. And, you know, the first thing we did, and I learned this from studying some of the best leaders, is the importance of having a clear vision. And in 2016, we put our vision in place, which reads, to glorify God in the pursuit of earning a degree, building lasting relationships, and competing for PAC championships. Well, that year, we were 0-9. You know, we're getting ready for the last week of the season. And one of my senior captains, Brett Pinson, had transferred in his freshman year. So he wasn't there his freshman year. At this point, he was 0-29, about to go 0-30 for his college career. And we were at a Monday night meeting, and I said, Brett, why are you going to practice to tomorrow? Because it was Monday before Tuesday. He said, to compete for PAC championships, coach. And what he was saying was, look, our motto is brick by brick. He was laying bricks.
Yeah.
So that one day those freshmen could win the first bowl championship in school history, first postseason game. We had an amazing week of practice. But the reason I share that story is, so this year we won the conference, went undefeated in the regular season, finally turned that vision to reality. But we were 9-0 when we clinched the conference. And I reminded the team after the game, I said, remember, in 2016, Brett Pinson, when he was 0-9, said, I'm going out to practice today to compete for PAC championships so that we in 2023 could actually win the PAC championship and do that. And that's where we say each of us needs all of us. You know, and why I share that story is obviously our young men this year are so bought in, 10-0 regular season, first trip to the NCAA playoffs ever. But I think about those 2016 and all the Brett Pinsons we've had to lay bricks when they never saw fruit, to allow that to happen this year, that just gives you a small taste of the type of young men it takes to do something like we've been blessed to experience here at Grove City.
And incidentally, when you mentioned the whole 30 minutes early, that was a whole military thing we used to do. If you're not 30 minutes early, you're late. All the, you know, all those things like discipline and, you know, your duty, integrity, those are the same principles, which is why we have such a successful military.
Yeah,
but I want to go back to something because, you know, when you watch a lot of professional organizations, for example, and you'll see organizations that are essentially in a culture of losing, you know, they're just, they can't turn it around. And, you know, and I'm going to pick on Cleveland, but I'm just using them as an example. Cleveland's not a bad team, but it's an example of a team that hasn't won in like forever. And, you know, they're trying to buy some players, they're trying to bring this in, they're trying to. The bottom line is at some point, you know, you get the, well, here we go again. You know, here we go again. How did you, you know, how do you turn a culture around so it's like, well, I'm not going to keep trying, but here we go again. You know, how do you turn that around?
Yeah, so we did that with three principles. In 2016, we, you know, again, like I said, we were on a long losing streak. We said, number one, guys, principle number one, we need a clear vision. And that's where we said compete for PAC championships. And our slogan there was, focus on your vision, not your circumstance. You know, and we have to make recruiting decisions, staffing decisions, offense, defense, special teams. We said, all we're going to do, instead of looking at, you know, the negative here, we're going to look at how do we take this area and do it in such a way that we can compete in the PAC with the other teams in this conference and how we recruit. So instead of worrying about what, you know, Alabama's doing or these NFL, we're going to learn from them. However, we have a clear vision, guys, and we can make every decision with compete for PAC championships, number one. So focus on the vision, not the circumstance. Second, we told them, we said, guys, it's going to be a process. I don't know how long it's going to take. Our focus there was see a little, see a lot, see a lot, see nothing. See a little, see a lot, see a lot, see nothing. You know, don't look at everything you got to do to get there. We said, guys, every day, brick by brick, just be faithful to lay a brick towards that vision today. And then third thing, each of us needs all of us. So the third principle is love. And essentially get the strength coach, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, all realizing, hey, we're making decisions every day towards the vision of how we compete in the PAC. So vision, process, love, and how we sold that to our guys, our whole campus is brick. Appreciate how you mentioned how beautiful our campus is. And we said, guys, look, we're building brick by brick because every building you see on this campus, number one, they started with a blueprint. That means someone had a vision for it. They were built one brick at a time. You know, that represents the process. And why do these buildings hold tight together when storms come? Mortar holds them together. That represents love. So brick by brick, blueprint bricks, mortar represent vision, process, love. And we just said, if we build with these three things consistently daily, you know, we could do something special. So, and it's been neat to see, you know, all the fruit that's come building with vision, process, love, brick by brick.
Yeah, before we bring Kevin into the picture, when I took the job at Carnegie Mellon Baseball, they had 40 consecutive losing years.
Wow.
But I did say a little bit different than what you said. They said, when do you think you can turn this around? I said, as soon as I put the O at the end of my name. And we went 9-10 that first year, and then we were able to – it's a little bit different there. Like, I can't recruit anybody. I get what I get and make the best of it. But
You know, let me ask you guys a question real quick. Would you rather walk into a losing club or a winning club?
Winning.
No, I'm going to tell you right now. I think the expectation is to hold it together.
Now, you know,
I'd rather walk into a situation like that.
For me, I just, like I said, you know, I used to say.
Then on the other hand, the current professional coach in this town walked into a winning team.
Well,
he's been able to keep his job.
Well, yeah. But you know what I say, Andrew? I used to say, you know, the old real estate axiom, which was what? Three most important things in real estate were location, location, location. I used to say the three most important things in coaching and business and in life was good people, good people, good people, but I've changed that. I think the most important thing in coaching, business, and life is the right people, the right people, the right people. Like we have all these, you know, cords and plugs and this board here that Steve's running. I can't do it. Doesn't make me a bad person. I'm just not the right person. Steve's the right person. And if you have the right people, you know, and I've studied teams. I studied the old Packers or the Steelers. And Chuck Knoll, when he first took over the Steelers, he said, we're going to be a championship team. But most of you won't be here when we win that championship, you know. And so you have to have the right people. But, you know, we got you on because Kevin McGuire, when we had a meeting about Square Advisories Consultants with Bill Kai, he said, you got to get this guy on the show. So, Kevin, I'm going to ask you, why did you want us to interview Andrew?
Well, I can tell you that at age 74, I don't want to say it's difficult to get motivated when you hear somebody speak. But I left the luncheon a different person. What I can tell you is one of the most inspiring things that I learned was when the coach talked about his captain wasn't a starter, which I kind of thought was kind of unique because most people that aren't starters are relegated to the background. So coach, I wonder if you could talk about the relationship with your captain, the things that he did for the players on your team, for Grove City, because that truly moved me.
Oh, no, thank you for sharing that. I'm glad. Yeah, at the luncheon he's referring to, I had three of our captains there, and one of them was Aiden Gutierrez. He was our backup quarterback, and you think, you know, our team this year had the most successful season in school history, and we did it with a backup quarterback being voted captain by his teammates, just to show you, you know, truly living out each of us needs all of us. And, you know, Aiden, truly, when we throw a touchdown, he's the first one jumping up on the sideline, first one cheering on, and every player in our team gets a phrase they'll be remembered by. So we have 20 phrases we live by, and Aiden's, when we celebrate it at our banquet, they get a brick with their name on it and a phrase they'll be remembered by. And for Aiden, his was, everything I need and everything I do all the time. And what that's referring to is in our faith is, look, we have everything we need to bring joy to the field, to bring the right attitude to the field, you know, flowing out of our faith. And he lived that out so much that his teammates voted him captain. And actually, one of the guys, as we prepare for next season, pretty amazing. You know, I said, what's one of your goals? And because our starting quarterback, he'll be back. He was an underclassman last year. So he led us on the best season. So, you know, barring staying healthy, he's our guy. And there's another guy at the quarterback position. I said, what are your goals? And he said, I'd love to be like Aiden. And you think about that. How many guys say, you know, I want that same role as the backup quarterback who helps the starter every time he comes to the sideline and brings the energy to the field that lifts everybody and gets them focused. And that's the type of young man that Aiden was. And you know, I'll share one more. I think the other guy I had with me that day was Cole DeFilippo, who was a backup linebacker, but on every special teams. I mean, these were two of our captains. And his phrase was, don't make excuses, don't complain, extreme ownership. You know, we took that from the Navy SEALs. Don't make excuses, don't complain, extreme ownership. And here's a young man, switched positions multiple times, never complained, never excuses. All he worried about was, how do I take ownership and what I'm being asked to do to be my best at it? And I think those were two of the phrases I shared at that luncheon. And two young men who, you know, didn't even have starting roles on offense and defense, yet were captains leading our program. And it's a blessing to hear, Kevin, that how much you appreciated hearing it at that luncheon.
By the way, I wanted to ask you something really quickly. The one theme that I keep hearing over and over with you is faith. Faith is obviously the cornerstone to all this. I understand the kind of school Grove City is against a wonderful school. I almost went there. I still kind of look back in life and say it would have been very nice to have gone to that school. But obviously everybody going to that school is strong in faith. Does that play a factor in all of this?
Yes, it absolutely does. I mean, I'll just share this too, a couple of things. So the third captain I had that day was Dom Magliocco, and his phrase is, normal to be challenged, wrong to be defeated. And what we mean by that is, you know, it's normal in life to be challenged, certainly being 0-10 and, you know, some of the things we went through. For Dom, he had a season-ending injury his sophomore year. Just the wrong to be defeated means we take that off James chapter 1 in the Bible, where it says, consider it joy when you face trials. So when we say about the defeated part is, hey, there is some way, shape, or form we can find joy in this trial. And in that passage, we know it's building character and building hope. Obviously, people are coming alongside of us. So, you know, I think considering it joy when we face trials, you know, one of the things we say a lot as a team is content but not complacent. And when we take that out from our faith of the Apostle Paul in the Bible, who, you know, said, there's a famous passage, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But right before that, Paul says, I've learned to be content in any and every situation. And that's how we tell our guys, you know, with our faith, we want to be content. I want to bring the same joy every day to practice. But don't get me wrong, Paul, who said content in anything, is also the one who said, I worked harder than any of them. So just some of those themes that it's normal to be challenged, but attacking it the right way, and having the attitude of content but not complacent, bring our joy to football. Don't get a joy from it. Bring our joy to it. But don't get me wrong, that doesn't make us work any less harder. It's content but not complacent. We're not going to get complacent. We're going to work hard through it. So I just think faith helps us just approach adversity and challenges with an approach where we bring our joy to the field, which allows us to handle those things the right way.
Coach, let me ask you, when you have the when you say what you say from the heart up, not the neck up, you're passionate about what you say, the things that you're saying make sense and they're impactful. But have you ever, maybe this might be a tough question for you, but have you ever had a player or three that just didn't buy into what you were saying? And if you've had that, what did you do about it?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things, and I've seen it to be true at Grove City. Certainly, you know, coming from where we were those first couple of years, I mean, my first year, we went 0-10, right? We hadn't won a game in a couple of years, and the first year went 0-10. But one thing that I've always been told, I love studying great leadership books and from people, but they said if you have a very clear vision, and you don't just put it on the wall, but you live it out every day, everyone knows you're making decisions. They really did say a lot of those issues will take care of themselves. Those who aren't bought into the vision will realize, hey, you know, maybe this isn't the best thing for me. So I will say, and especially I think back to our first couple years, it's proved to be true. Having that clear vision of who we were as a program, I'll be honest, did we have issues? Yes, but they really did take care of themselves, which was a blessing. You know, we just were faithful to share the vision. This is what we're doing. This is where we're going. This is how we're going to get there. And these last couple of years, because we're recruiting guys and we're very clear at the beginning, hey, here's our vision. There's four components to it, a spiritual, social, a mental, and physical. This is what Grove City football is going to be like. Because we're so clear of this is our vision, and then when you get here, that's what we talk about every day. You know, fortunately, we've been able to get the right guys into the program that knew exactly what they were getting into as far as what it was going to look like to be a Grove City College football player. So I would say a vision helps some of those things take care of themselves initially, and then recruiting and being faithful to carry that out. It was really allowed us, like you said earlier, which was so important, just get the right people into the program. And fortunately, we have the right staff to communicate that message to get the right players, which has kind of taken care of itself these last couple of years.
Good.
Wonderful. Hey, Coach, again, appreciate you taking time out. We're going to take a quick little break so we can pay the bills.
All right. Remember, you can hear Italian Impact Weekly on www.italianimpactweekly.com and www.crsmmedia.com. We've had such great guests as Mario Andretti, Vince Ferragamo, Vince Papali, Chris Corciani, as well as many successful businessmen and women in the Italian community. If you're looking to promote your business, please connect with us at questions@italianimpactweekly.com. Not only can we air your commercials and spots, but we can produce one for you as well. We promise to get you as much publicity as we possibly can at a great price. Don't forget about my show, The Claudio Relsano Show, on claudiorelsano.com. We've had such great guests as Rocky Blyer, Jim Rooker, Sid Bream, Dick Vermeil, Ken Griffey Sr., Robin Cole, Mario Andretti, Vinny Pazienza. We've had more than just Italian people on there. But and also, we are changing content a little bit. We're still going to have great athletes on. But we're also going to speak to many successful business men and women and hear their stories about their business and life. Don't forget about my book, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up, How to Create a Positive Winning Culture on the Field and in the Office. There's still a few left at the Barnes & Noble in Robinson Township. You can get it at my website at claudiorelsano.com, barnesandnoble.com, and amazon.com. And May 18th, Let's Party for KC Golf Event, hosted by Kennedy Catholic Family of Schools, will be held at Tam O'Shanter Golf Course May 18th, 9 a.m. shotgun start. Tam O'Shanter is located in 2961 South Hermitage Road in Hermitage, Pennsylvania. Only $125 per player. Please contact Maria Metters at 330-559-8891. That's 330-559-8891. They are wonderful people. I did a speaking engagement there a few weeks ago. Unbelievable people, unbelievable cause. So make sure you go play, and it'll be a lot of fun. I'll be there for sure.
Thanks to Greater Pittsburgh Travel. For any of your travel needs, let Tom and the team at Greater Pittsburgh Travel know, and they'll take care of you. For more information, call 412-331-2244 or visit their website at www.greaterpittsburghtravel.com. For all of your plumbing needs, be sure to try Pellucci Plumbing. Nick and the team have decades of experience and will get you back up and running. For more information, call Pellucci Plumbing at 412-782-5050. And we want to thank the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. If you're interested in learning more, you can find their contact information on Facebook at Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. Again, thanks Domenica and the team at the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh for your support. And we want to thank La Scuola d'Italia Galileo Galilei, the only nonprofit school in Pittsburgh endorsed by the Italian Consulate. If you're interested in learning Italian or have your children being immersed in the Italian culture and language, be sure to give them a call at 412-404-7070. And that's La Scuola d'Italia, Galileo Galilei. We'd also like to thank Chris Gonzalez from the Knights of Columbus. If you have any questions about joining the Knights of Columbus, reach out to Chris Gonzalez at 412-605-9074. All right, welcome back, folks. Again, Coach, appreciate you taking time out. You know, one thing I do kind of want to follow up on is the nice thing about working in a school like Grove City is it's a private school, it's a private Christian school. And we were, you know, I was asking you about the importance of faith. I'm going to make a leap of faith, pun intended, that everybody that goes to that school is on the same page as you and their drive for why they're doing these. In other words, you kind of made a comment before about, you know, bring the joy to the game. The game shouldn't necessarily in and of itself be the joy, because truth be told is it's a fleeting moment. You can go out on the field, you can win, and then the next day it's another day in life and that's gone. How does that play out in the locker room? Any challenges there, or is everybody pretty much, you know, kind of in the same kind of mindset, spiritually, religiously speaking, faith speaking?
Yeah, you know, we do, as far as, you know, when guys come in, they do come from all different backgrounds. You know, some of them, you know, take the faith, for example, faith, you know, was a big factor of why they chose Grove City. You know, for another guy, it might be, hey, I wanted 4-year mechanical engineering and a chance to play football. You know, maybe that's the only two reasons that why he ultimately chose Grove City. But, you know, they all know faith's going to be a part of what we do, and they're open to that. But I will say, you know, we get guys from all different backgrounds, you know, even from faith, as far as, you know, how much of an indicator or factor that was for them to choose to come to Grove City. But what I talked about earlier with vision, process, love, you know, for example, you know, we have a vision for every position on our team. You know, when I sit there at practice and guys come out, you know, I sit there and we say, live in the why, not the what. If it's a quarterback and stretch lines, hey, why are you guys here today? Win one-on-ones, coach. You know, every defensive back, when they come on the field, hey, why are you here today? Eliminate and challenge, coach. You know, being able to get back to, hey, here's my vision of why I'm coming on the field. And they're all bought into that. And then we're able to connect it to every other area. Hey, here's the vision for my faith, for example, and how that drives me every day. Just like win one-on-ones drives our quarterbacks every day at practice. Here's how I apply it to my faith and encourage guys to do the same. And we have the same for our academics. So, you know, we do have guys, all different backgrounds, you know, having a roster of over 100 guys. But I'd say the one thing everyone's been bought into is the idea of vision. Certainly on the field, here's my position vision. This is what I'm to be focused on every day and lay one brick and growing in that area today in my position vision. And then we talk about how to apply it in the other areas, and certainly hope and pray, you know, all of our guys do that in every area as they continue to go. We say 440 forever. So hopefully they take, apply in the 4 years of vision, process, love to the next 40, and then ultimately in their faith forever.
Coach, how is it to coach at your alma mater?
Oh, it's such an honor. It is. You know, I think back my wedding day, I got married in the chapel in Grove City and five of the guys in my wedding played football at Grove City, you know, and I just think about the impact that it had on me, and to get to come back to a place where I played, my brother played. And again, you talk about the right people, from athletic director, president, everybody, the coaching staff, to get to be a part of, you know, having some memorable seasons, you know, certainly some of our best seasons these last couple of years. I got to do that at my high school, at my high school alma mater with South Fayette. You know, anytime a place that truly shaped you into who you are, to be able to give other guys that same opportunity, I'll just say this. We say build lasting relationships. My relationships with teammates, professors, coaches was second to none when I was at Grove City. And I tell our guys all the time, I just want you to be able to get the same impact with players, coaches, professors that Grove City gave me, and to be able to encourage guys and give back in that way. I truly feel honored and blessed every day I get to go to work.
Coach, I'm going to switch gears. I've got to ask it. All right, you're obviously fairly from the local area, and you are aware that we have a local professional sports team here in Pittsburgh in the football arena. And there's a lot of people that say, oh, he's a good coach, he's a good coach, he's never had a losing record. What's the criteria for a good coach? Is it just because they've never had a losing record? What makes a good coach?
Yeah, I mean, I ultimately, to me, you know, obviously I go back to vision. That's what I always come back to. But a very clear vision of who you are as a program or organization, and a coach that's able to get everybody to be bought into that vision. You know, we always say, don't think more of yourself, don't think less of yourself, think of yourself less. Now, as a coach, you know, I think about the most impactful coaches I've studied. And I think the definition of a team is a group of people working towards a common cause. I mean, a group of people in relationship working towards a common cause. Can you get that as a coach? Can you get a group of people to get their eyes off themselves, think of themselves less, and truly be committed towards relationships, towards a common cause? And so, you know, as I look at any coach, are you able to build a team, a group of people working in relationship towards a common cause? Are you able to do that? A, what is the common cause? And then are you able to build that team, group of people working in relationship towards a common cause? To me, I think that's how I view coaching and the impact of a coach. You know, as far as the Steelers, I would just say, you know, if the definition of a team is a group of people working together in relationship towards a common cause, you know, how is the coach able to do that? I'll say this, it seems that the players, and I'm not in the locker room and all that, but they certainly love the coach, love what they're doing. Sounds like a group of people in relationship. You know, unfortunately or fortunately, I love the Steelers, but I'm so caught up in our season in the fall, I kind of don't follow as
that's
much.
That's right, I'm sure.
But, you're not missing much.
To answer your question, again, a team, a group of people working in relationship towards a common cause, as a coach, are you able to build that? I think that's the question.
Coach, what if there ever was a moment, but was there ever a moment that you were at your lowest as a coach? The team wasn't doing well, or maybe there was some issues with the team. If there was a moment like that, how did you deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, my first year when we went 0-10, you know, my wife and I, we both moved from the Pittsburgh area, left our jobs, came back to Grove City, our alma mater. And, you know, your first year, you go 0-10, no fruit from it. I started my career 0-13. And, you know, certainly after that first season, realizing, you know, at that point, we had lost, after that first 0-10 season, we had lost 0-30 straight as a program. So, I mean, you're thinking, how are we going to turn this around? I can tell you, I am forever indebted to those who taught me the importance of vision, process, love. Because I was sitting there at 0-10, which that would be the first part of your question. That was my lowest point. But I said every day, Andrew, focus on your vision, not your circumstance. The visions compete for PAC championships. So how do you compete with these other schools in recruiting? You know, how do you compete? What kind of staffing do they have? How do you get a staff to look similar? And those who taught me to focus on the vision, not the circumstance, and then to every day lay a brick towards that vision, Andrew, that's all you can do, really helped me get out of that lowest point and helped our program turn the corner. So 0-10, my lowest point, and focus on your vision, not your circumstance, really helped me move past that tough moment.
Now, I had a good question. I was listening to what he was saying. That's a great answer. Now, something that's very important to me is when players years later call me and remember a quote or a story or something like that. And you know, that means more to me than just the championships. And I have a feeling it's the same thing with you. Tell us about maybe some moments like that you had with some players.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. One, probably one of the neatest calls I got, one of our players just called me and said, hey, coach, I'm getting married. I wanted to see if you would walk my mom down the aisle. Brought tears to my eyes. Actually, I'm tearing up, I think, as I'm telling you right now. Just to be a part of that, have such a special role, you know, that's one that stands out. And then all the weddings, being there at the weddings. So I've been at many now. That's certainly that stands out. You know, secondly, I had a guy who was in our graduated, finished his football season in 2018, and he came in because we have that vision, right, which is spiritual, social, mental, physical components, and he wrote me an email, but then he came to see me. He's now in New York City working, and he said, coach, every day I build into all four of those areas. He said, and he put it this way, he's like, I feel like I've never left the program because I've taken it with me. And he said, I had a presentation with a board of directors, and I used our phrases. Now they're up on the wall in the office. And there's so many stories like that of, you know, hey, coach, I, you know, just did a presentation at work. I unpacked focus on your vision, not your circumstance. So the weddings, that's number one, seeing our guys move on. Secondly, you know, those guys share and how they're applying vision process love or one of the phrases in their work setting and then in their churches, things anywhere in the community. I've had guys share that, how they've applied those phrases. Certainly, as you said, more rewarding than anything else, more rewarding than just a win or loss on the field. And those are the things that certainly bring tears to your eyes when you hear it.
I tell you the thing that's getting to me, Coach, and I've been fortunate as well with weddings and unfortunately pallbearer a few times. But the crazy thing is my daughter said to me last year, my daughter's 22, she said, Daddy, I'm older than all of your players now. That hit me like a ton of bricks because I first started coaching as a head coach at age 23. And, you know, wow. Now it's like, what? The time just flew. I'm in my 40th year of coaching, 19th at CMU, and it's amazing, Coach, how fast it went. Does it seem like that with you?
Yeah. You know, you just being here since 2016 and, you know, the guys coming back through and, you know, coming to games and now me seeing them come back to games with you know, with a kid or their wives and, you know, certainly, you know, already starting to feel that and it's special. And even just for my kids, I mean, we had my daughter's 8, you know, when that first class was here, she had just been born that year and for guys to come back and not notice it, like, wait, that's your daughter. It is. You start to realize, wow. You know, it's certainly building up and it's precious like you shared.
Now I'm going to ask you a little bit of a touchy question. In baseball, I grew up in a great era, the 70s, 80s, and the peace of the 90s. And I studied coaches and even listened to announcers. And I have a notebook at home full of notes from Jim Palmer, Joe Morgan, Jim Rooker. I can go on and on. Just great things about the game, right, and that I still apply today. And I studied guys like a Tony La Russa and Joe Torre and Cito Gaston and Chuck Tanner, Whitey Herzog, Billy Martin, so on and so forth. I do not like the game today. I'm going to be doing a baseball podcast, and the tough thing about it is I have to watch more baseball. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I'm so grateful. I thank God. I thank my parents every single day of the opportunities that I've had and to be doing what I'm doing in my life because it's what I wanted to do since August 19th, 1973. So I'm blessed to be doing it. But I don't like the direction of the game. I don't like the analytics. I don't like hit the lower half of the ball to create backspin, which is a lie, and so on and so forth. Your thoughts on football strategy and coaching and even attitudes or whatever today?
My philosophy would align.
Not you, but like the NFL and stuff like that, the thing that you see.
Let me give you an example. So we've been blessed to turn it around, which then we get to speak at clinics. And I'll just use for example – I'll just use one example to paint my picture here. We've had the number one third down offense in our conference for the last several years, number one again this year. And I think all the coaches' jaws dropped at a clinic when I said, you know, we don't script third down. You know, I don't script plays. I don't know. What I do is we go to the line, we manage the numbers, we look at it. If the numbers say run, we run. And if you add one to the box, we throw. I said, I don't look at the percentage chance on third and three of your blitz and what pass. I also said we don't script any plays to start a drive. The first 15 plays based off analytics or what to do in the red zone. I said, I don't script any of it. I said, we call it at the line. We get up and I said, if you want us to run it 45 times, we'll run it 45, 50 times in a game. If we have numbers to run, we run. When you load the box, then we're going to throw. And to your point, you know, it's helped us, and I said, we've been a top third down and a top red zone offense. We don't look at any analytics or numbers for it. We come to the line and play the game at the line of scrimmage the way, you know, like you mentioned, that I heard it done, you know, when I first even knew football existed, right? To your point, I do think, you know, some of the, obviously, sure, analytics can be helpful, but our philosophy is, hey, guys, if we come up to the line and it's pretty basic math, if we always run when it's 6 for 6 to run and when you load the box, that's when we pass, you know, we have a chance to be successful, right, and that's helped us have a top offense. So I cater to more of that. Really know the game, know what to do with the line of scrimmage, know, you know, you got to be able to run the football right at people and you know, those are the things that we do, which are different than a lot of what you hear in the commentary for analytics during most of the professional games.
Well,
so I would say not wrong, just different, but that's our philosophy. It's very similar to, I feel, what you were sharing with baseball.
Well, I say this. If it's raining, you put up an umbrella. If it's cold, you put on a jacket. If it's hot, you put on shorts. Whatever the situation
right.
calls for,
yeah.
that's what you do.
Well, that's not only
yeah.
that, but if you're paying attention to the analytics, so is the other coach. So now
Correct.
You just get into the stalemate. Because, you know what, I've been saying it for years. Sports is getting boring. It's getting boring. But between the commercial breaks and I don't need another gambling app, it's just getting boring. I mean, and the problem is they're taking the human element out of it. Because now it's like, well, what should I do on third round? Well, I've got a 76% chance of making it if I do this. Well, okay, so now I can go open up my sports betting app and bet that he's going to probably do this. And it's just getting so inhuman that it's just not fun to watch. And I think the successful coaches are the ones that dump all of that crap and just go with your gut. What does your gut tell me? You're playing the game. Yeah, 76% of the time this might work. But you know what? I've noticed in this game that this particular team is struggling with this on this particular day. Because they might be great at it every other game, but for some reason it's not clicking today. So I'm going to buck the stats, and I'm going to do what my gut says, and I'm going to do this instead of that. That's where coaches become successful, not when they just look at the bleeping numbers. Because, I just think it's boring. So I appreciate what you said. You got to just play it by ear. I'll tell you right now, when I coached hockey for about 20 years, and I'm like you, I didn't rehearse set plays. I didn't do anything. We hardly ever practiced plays, maybe some face-off plays. Maybe some basics for power play and penalty kill. But the game is so dynamic that you just got to let it flow. And you just get a feel for lines, and you get a feel for this line's on today or they're not on today. And you just kind of know these things, and then you just got to coach to it. But Andy, again, before we let you go, I want one more little piece of advice. For our listeners, you know, you've obviously made an impression on a lot of people, obviously outside of the, you know, off the field and on the field. If you wanted to, you know, kind of leave some parting knowledge for folks that are thinking, hey, you know what, I don't know where I'm going, you know, because it's not much different than a season or a game or a play. I don't know what to do. What do I do? And there's got to be some kind of guidance that, you know, that guides you to make a decision when you make a decision. Everybody makes decisions if they're going to be successful. What's yeah. that piece of wisdom that you would want to share for folks that are saying, like, I don't know what to do?
Five words. I appreciate you asking this because this is how I end. You know, even if I talk to families or recruits, I say, hey, not all of you are going to end up here. If I can leave you with anything, I always try to leave individuals with the five words I feel that have impacted me the most and the best advice I ever received. And it's this: be where your feet are. I think those five words, be where your feet are, meaning just always make sure, you know, your mind and heart are where your feet are planted. And I think to make the most of any day, you know, my son's usually the first one to wake up. He loves, he's five. He wants to wrestle me, right? Man, when I'm with my son, recruits don't, nothing matters. Recruiting that day, football, nothing. Be dad, Andrew. Be fully present with your son. You know, when you get to work and a young man comes in your office and you're working on something, put it away, put the phone away, the laptop away. Be 100% invested in what that young man's saying and needs. You know, you come home, I pick up my daughter from dance. You know, most nights she has dance. That 10-minute car ride home, Andrew, ask her about every detail of dance. Ask her about your day. You know, you get home, you're eating with your wife. It's about being husband now. Ask her about her day. And I just feel if I get to the end of my day and I can say, you know what, be where your feet are was true of me today, then there's no doubt in my mind I'll grow as a father that day. I'll grow as a husband. I'll grow as a coach. I'll grow as a coworker. You know, I'll grow as a sibling, a son. And I think the best five words to thrive in business and with your family or in all areas, be where your feet are. Just make sure those five words are true of you in a given day, and you'll be present in every situation, and I feel get the most out of every situation. So I think the parting words I would leave is simply be where your feet are.
Oh, that's fantastic advice. In fact, when I was a young officer, they used to say, bloom where you're planted. You don't always want to, always want to be where you're at, but you know what? You make the best of it. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is, look, if I can't trust you, like the good book says, if I can't trust you with the little things, I'm not going to give you the big things. Yep. So, Andrew, yep. again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I suspect you're a busy man, so, you know, to stop what you're doing, again, appreciate it. And obviously you gave us your time, so we're very appreciative of that.
Coach, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. We wish you all the best on the field and off.
Oh, thank you so much. And, again, thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Sure. Kevin?
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you for recommending me to be on this and for talking with me at that luncheon. Really appreciate it as well. Thank you.
Life-changing moment.
All right, Andrew. Looks like I said, you're making a difference on and off the field. Keep doing up whatever you're doing. God has definitely given you a task in life, and you know what? You're blooming where you're planted. So thank you very much again. And, folks, we want to thank you for listening. Again, for our listeners all over the world, which we think is absolutely humbling. When I go out there and look at the stats and see where people are actually listening to this show, I am blown away that people are downloading us from all over the world. And we are gratefully, you know, we're grateful to that. And like Claudio and I said, when we were going to start this over a year ago, you know, I said it was an inform and an entertain. We want you to get something out of the show. We want you to, you know, I don't want another show just like we, you know, Claudio, we say we're doing it different. Mm-hmm. Because when you leave our show, you're going to be like, yeah, you know what? I got something out. I feel good. I'm not ticked off at the world. I'm not, you know, it's a good show, and we're glad that people are enjoying it. Because, again, the fact that people are continuing to listen, downloading from all over the world, we want to thank you very much.
And we try to be a little bit different. We don't script anything. We kind of show up here and do our thing. And, again, from the heart up, not the neck up. But we really appreciate all of you listening. And, as always, thank you, Mom and Pop.